Hey, what's up? John Doherty here for Radio Tacoma's Climate Talk, the place where we talk about everything climate, always respectfully, ever striving to be fact-based, open to divergent perspectives, and always actively optimistic. The idea for this Climate Talk came to me when I heard people passing around the notion that Pierce Transit's electric buses couldn't climb the downtown Tacoma Hills, that they didn't have enough power to do it. This didn't seem right to me, and it wasn't. But first, let me comment that for some reason that is beyond me, there are folks out there who either for ideological or financial reasons are resisting the transition away from environment-damaging fossil fuels to cleaner energy forms. In our present system, transportation is responsible for a large portion of our atmospheric pollution. One of the very effective ways of reducing that kind of pollution is to electrify transportation, and that's a pathway that Pierce Transit is on. Given the rumor that Pierce Transit's electric buses can't climb the downtown Tacoma Hills, I decided nothing like a little fact to dispel an untruth. So I went to the source, folks who are responsible for maintaining and operating Pierce Transit's electric buses, and just asked. So today we're talking to Pierce Transit's Adam Davis. He's the Executive Director of Maintenance. And Nathan Groh, he's a zero emissions fleet coordinator to get the straight scoop. So here we go.
Okay, so Adam Davis and Nathan Groh from Pierce Transit, welcome to Climate Talk.
Thanks for having us.
Good to have you here. So the thing that triggered my interest in talking to you folks today, and you do seem like exactly the right people to be talking to at Pierce Transit, is the whole subject of electric buses. This is a climate show. We think that defossil fueling, decarbonizing transportation is a big deal. We know that Pierce Transit is interested in that as well. And the buses sort of stand out as kind of like the poster child for that. So that's what started off my interest. So let's just jump right in. And I'll let either one of you decide who's going to answer or discuss topics as we go along here. So how many buses do we have? How are they working out?
So we currently have 9 buses in service. 6 of those are the Gillig brand, and 3 of them are the Proterra brand. We also will have an additional 3 on order soon. We were lucky enough to get awarded some money from the FTA LONO grant. And after we get the additional 3 in service, we'll be up to about 7% electric for our fixed route fleet. And overall, I'd say the electric buses are doing pretty much exactly what we need them to do. Of course, we have some issues here and there, but overall, we are definitely pleased with them compared to our CNG fleet.
So you mentioned, I'm not sure I got it right, an FTA loan. Is that what you referred to?
So it's actually a grant through the FTA, and it's the low or no emissions program that they offer. And we got just about enough money with our match on the grant to order 3 additional electric buses.
Okay, so probably my bad, but the FTA acronym is what?
So the FTA is the Federal Transit Administration.
Okay, cool. It's probably an outfit that's pretty important to you guys and not so important to laypersons in general. So, well, first off, this is news to me that Pierce Transit seems pretty aggressively expanding the electric bus fleet, which seems to be good news, generally speaking. So do these buses go on a specific route or do they just kind of go into the system?
So we do have our electric buses on designated routes, depending on the range that the bus has or the terrain as well. So they are on designated routes and those will vary by season.
Okay. So, well, you're getting to something that I am really curious about. Part of what triggered this call for you guys is that I'd heard rumors that the electric buses weren't able to handle the hills in downtown Tacoma. So what's the deal on that?
So I would say that overall, the electric buses can perform on hilly or very graded routes. Some of the routes, for example, that we operate our electric buses on are Route 57, Route 48, and Route 45. Those are all servicing downtown Tacoma and do offer a hilly terrain. You do hear stories around the world and around the United States where electric buses aren't getting the job done on the hills. And the problem isn't that they don't have enough torque. It's essentially it uses a lot of energy to get up those hills. Uh-huh. So they're fully capable of tackling Tacoma's hills. That's not the problem.
Okay, so that's a great distinction. It helps my understanding. So the issue is not do they have the torque to get up the hills. It's like, let's put them on routes that aren't quite so demanding energy-wise. Do I understand that right then?
Exactly. We really want to maximize the range that the buses offer and make sure that they're getting out to areas in need of not only just our service, but of a cleaner bus service in general.
So far in Pierce Transit's experience, have we had any incidents where the bus was out someplace and ran out of battery and had to be rescued?
I'll let Adam talk to that question.
Okay.
Yeah, so we actually have a telematic software on the buses called Vericity, and we have alerts that notify our comm center and maintenance department. So I don't recall any case where we've actually ran it out of battery power, you know, with those notifications in place to date. So fingers crossed.
Yeah, okay. Well, you'd be the guy to know for sure. So can either one of you talk a little bit about the genesis of the plan to start buying electric buses at Pierce Transit? What was the driver for that?
So our journey started in 2018 with a NOLO grant, and that's when we purchased and received October of 18 three of the Proterra buses. And then we moved forward testing, and then we had opportunity with our manufacturer Gillig that we purchased the additional buses. So we've kind of been on this journey to test and identify opportunities to move forward with electrification.
So how I'm thinking about cost now. So there's a bunch of money to buy these buses, and I understand we've gotten some grants, so that's great. Then there's maintenance and fuel, energy over time. So how did these electric buses stack up versus the diesel buses?
So our replacement life cycle on our CNG buses, and I just note that 85% of our fleet is CNG.
We're primarily okay, thank you for that, yeah.
So we operate on a 16-year, 640,000 life cycle, 40,000-mile life cycle. The electric buses are just out of the gate here. So as far as comparing a side-by-side analysis to see which one's performing better from, you know, cost per mile or total cost of ownership, it's really preliminary. But purchase price on the electric buses is around $300,000 more than the CNG. And as Nathan mentioned, we're still just getting them out on routes, still in that learning and test mode to understand them better.
Yeah, right now I'm feeling kind of bad that I don't realize that the majority of the Pierce Transit buses are CNG versus diesel. So CNG in itself is probably more environmentally friendly than the diesel buses, would you say?
Definitely. Yeah. We're very proud to have at least CNG buses in our bus fleet. And we do operate a few diesel hybrid buses, but overall our environmental footprint is a lot lower because we operate CNG buses compared to an all diesel fleet or a primarily diesel powered fleet.
So let's talk a little bit about Pierce Transit's larger view of a zero emission fleet. So what is the plan there? Where are we headed? What has to happen for us to be truly zero emission?
So I'd say the overall goal of the agency is to get as many zero emissions buses into service as possible. And the timeline on that can definitely vary with how aggressive you are. Right now, we are currently in a contract with HDR, and they are putting together a fleet transition plan for us that will be ready at the beginning of next year. And that fleet transition plan is really going to help guide our agency in the direction of our zero emissions goals. And right now, as far as the timeline goes, we could have a very aggressive timeline of being completely zero emissions by 2040 at the earliest.
So HDR, what's that organization?
They're just a consultant group that we've contracted with. They do a lot of work with various transit agencies on electrifying their fleet, either through battery electric buses or through hydrogen power.
So environmentally, it's abundantly clear that zero emissions is a worthwhile goal. So are we? Is this going to cost us money or is it going to save us money over the long haul?
Over the long haul, I would argue that it will eventually save you money. There is, as Adam mentioned, a very high upfront cost, right, both from just purchasing the buses, but also all the infrastructure that is needed for this transition. It's definitely not as easy as of a transition as just all you have to do is just buy the buses, charge them, and you're done. You know, these things take a lot of time, but I definitely want the public to know that we are definitely doing the hard work now and making sure that our service will be zero emissions in the future.
Yeah, it seems like that's a principle that exists in a lot of carbon reduction, is that the upfront costs are pretty steep, but over time, things are cheaper. And that to me seems like a good argument for getting federal and state support financially to get going down that road, because it's a good investment over time. So is the state of Washington, is this involved in these purchases at all?
Depending on the question, so I would say that from a direct standpoint, the state of Washington is not directly involved, or they haven't directly twisted our arm per se towards transitioning to a zero emissions fleet. But the funding that they're putting out now is definitely making it very enticing to move towards a zero emissions fleet. Overall, I think this is the future for any agency across the country, but the state of Washington is definitely leading the charge towards making it a really viable opportunity with a lot of the funding opportunities that are out there.
Yeah, it's good to hear as somebody who loves living in this beautiful state that we live in. So the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022, I'm pretty sure there's a lot of money in there for medium and heavy electrification of vehicles. Any money coming from the IRA 2022 that Pierce Francis is going to be able to take advantage of?
So right now, we don't have any funding directly coming from the Inflation Reduction Act. That's something that our policy team is going to be looking at in the future. Well, honestly, at this point, we'll definitely take any funding help that that we can get to make this transition happen or happen faster.
Yeah, makes total sense. So I'm just wondering, I was a guy that kind of, let's say, worked the line for my career. And I'm wondering about the drivers, the mechanics, how are they responding to this electrification?
Yeah, I would like to say I'm very proud of the transparent process that we have in place to work closely with our frontline operators and maintainers. The transition has been going very well. And without their support, we wouldn't be as far along as we are. I mean, they'll let us know when it's working good. They'll let us know when it's not working good. And we can have that open conversation and figure out how to address it. We also have strong partnerships at the local, state, and national level with focus groups and networking teams to establish best practices and opportunities, you know, to work as a team. So yeah, there's a lot in place around that, and the process has been going very well.
Yeah, so I just want to acknowledge you for taking that approach, because you know sometimes organizations do a top down thing. Okay, this is what we're doing. Get used to it, and sometimes that doesn't work out so well. And paying attention to the line workers who are actually a tremendous source of information just in itself, if there's an open line of communication. So I'm glad you've got that line of communication. I'm wondering, okay, we've been talking about electric buses. Is Pierce Transit considering any other fuel source for buses like hydrogen, for instance?
Yeah, so part of the fleet transition plan that I mentioned earlier is an analysis on hydrogen, and specifically we would definitely want to look at green hydrogen options moving forward. But whether that will work specifically for our agency, we won't really find out until the results of the transition plan come out. In the future, looking forward, we could possibly integrate hydrogen into our fleet. There are some benefits that hydrogen has over battery electric, such as better range. Maybe we would use those on routes that would really require that. But we don't really know exactly which direction the future will hold. We just know that right now, battery electric is the way forward for us.
So in terms of range, how many hours a day do these buses have to be out of service while the battery is being recharged?
Go ahead, Adam.
So on testing it on different routes, what we've found to get to maximize our range, we have split runs. So in the morning, the bus will roll out and it could do a 70 or 80 mile run in the morning. It'll come back to base to charge for 4 or 5 hours, and then it can leave again in the afternoon with the full charge to do another 70 or 80 miles.
Yeah, okay. So it sounds like that's all just a part of the transition of different way of thinking about how you operate these guys. By the way, I wanted to mention to you, I saw the Pierce Transit display down at the electric vehicle event in Steilacoom, I think on the 10th of September. And I actually chatted with one of your drivers down there, Charlie's, I think his name is. And I was just a guy asking questions, and I asked him, so he didn't have any reason to obfuscate with me. And I said, what do you think of these electric buses? He says, they're great. I love driving them. And I mean, it wasn't like he was selling. It was just like a simple statement of fact. So I get that at least from that comment, that the line workers are pretty enthusiastic about this. And it's got to do something for them too, in terms of like they're part of creating a cleaner environment for everybody.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And a lot of the workers that we have are from a driver's standpoint. Most of them actually prefer the electric buses over the CNG buses that we have. They're a lot more comfortable for them to use, quieter. So there are some advantages.
Yeah, absolutely. I drive an electric car, and Dick Murray, who's the mayor of Steilacoom, is a proponent of electric vehicles. And he told me once he's never met anybody that bought an electric car that ever decided to go back to gasoline. So my guess is that's kind of similar with the response you're getting from the drivers and the guys that maintain the buses there at Pierce Transit. So getting close to the end here. So when can we expect the last emitting bus to go out of service at Pierce Transit?
That's a really good question. We obviously do have our current goal of 20% electric by the year 2030. But as far as a timeline goes, getting the last diesel powered buses out of our fleet, you could definitely see the last one out by 2030. And then as far as CNG, because our CNG fleet is so large, that timeline would probably be added to 2040 at least. The main point being here that we have to abide by FTA guidelines, and we can't just decommission a bus because we don't like the power source. We need to keep that bus for an extended period of time, 14 years, before we can decommission that out of our fleet.
Okay, so fill in a blank for me here. So that seems like a strange policy. What's the thinking behind that policy?
So I don't work for the FTA, of course, but what I would say is they probably want to make sure that if there's any sort of funding tied to that bus, that we're making sure that that bus gets its useful life out of it. You would hate to see a bus in service for only 3 years and then destroyed or whatever would happen to it. So you want to make sure that the assets that you do have are being used to their fullest from a life cycle standpoint.
Yeah, I get that. That's a tough choice. I mean, we as consumers deal with that all the time too. You know, do I turn in my gas range for an induction stovetop when my gas range is still working fine? Or if I've got a car that's operating fine, when do I do that transition to electric? So I get that that's a challenging decision. And sometimes, at least as a consumer, we're just more or less left with our gut level response. I don't know how else you would do that. So we're at the end here. So anything else that you'd like to mention about Pierce Transit's move to clean energy?
Yeah, I would just add that the future for electric vehicles with Pierce Transit is bright. We're committed to the technology, and we're making investments for vehicles, infrastructure, and workforce development.
Yep, yeah, well, that sounds like where we wanted to head. So I will just as a layperson and a person who rides Pierce Transit from time to time. By the way, I used to live down on Pacific Avenue, so I spent half my life on the one down there, which was. A great way of getting around, and also a great way of meeting a lot of really interesting people. So thanks, Nathan Groh and Adam Davis. Really appreciate you taking the time to tell us about Pierce Transit's electrical future.
Thank you so much, John. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you very much.
So there you have it. The answer to the initial question about electric buses in the hills, Pierce Transit is simply dispatching their fleet in the most effective way. Focusing the present electric fleet on routes other than downtown is a tactical decision and not because of electrical bus limitations. Beyond that, I really appreciate talking to these men who are daily involved with the project of getting Pierce Transit buses to zero emissions, and I, along with everyone else who values a healthy environment, can express our thanks to all the men and women at Pierce Transit who serve so effectively every day. If you have comments on this program or suggestions for future programs, you can contact me at john@ccltacoma.org. The CCL part is for Citizens Climate Lobby. I'm an activist with Citizens Climate Lobby. It's a good outfit. Check it out. Bunch of good folks. Or if you're not already attached, find an environmental organization that's a good fit for you and raise your voice with others for a cleaner future. This program, like all locally produced KTAH programs, is archived on the KTAH website under programming. So until next time, John Doherty here reminding you always to live like the mountain is out. Take care now.